pray. Heavenly Father, you are beautiful. You are a God who makes things beautiful. Mm-hmm. You created us beautiful, Father, mm-hmm. in your eyes. Father, may we understand that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, everybody likes to hear compliments. I can't think of anybody who doesn't appreciate it when somebody comes up and says something nice to them. You know, my wife especially. My wife will come up to me and she'll say, "I want you to tell me something good about you," or "tell me something good." And I will think about something, and it always seemed hollow to me because she asked me to do it. If I had just said it, I think it would have meant more to her than her having to ask me, "Okay, tell me something good." But I think it's important that we as people need to remember to tell people how much you love them, how much you care about them, what you think about them. If it's good, if it's bad, maybe not so much. You know, feelings can be hurt very easily, but you're not hurting anybody's feelings when you tell them how much you appreciate them. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings when you tell them how much you love them. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings when you tell them that you mean something.
Amen.
I did a lot of research this week on this. I went through several surveys that are on the net. Man, the internet is so good. You can just put in whatever you want and you can find answers. It's just so easy to do that. And I promise you this, you can look it up if you want to. There is an internet site that says emergencycompliment.com. And you can go to this website, and when you get there, you're going to see brief messages about things that are going to feed your ego. They're going to boost your mood. They're going to make you feel better. I mean, things like, one of them up there was, "Do you know your prom date still thinks about you all the time?" Or there's one there that says, "You are somebody's, the one that got away." You know, just things that, I mean, they put them on plaques, they put them on cups, you can just read them. But those are just hollow things, because they don't really know you, do they? They're just, it's just there to maybe boost your morale a little bit. The truth of the matter is we all need to hear that something, that little pick-me-up that we hear from others.
Amen.
I'm going to read to you what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and in this one scripture, Paul is trying to encourage the church at Ephesus to feel better about themselves. It's in Ephesians, the second chapter. It's verse 10. This is Paul talking about Christ. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Paul's saying here that we are God's handiwork. And another way you can say that, we are God's work of art.
Amen.
We are God's most precious work of art. He's not saying we're perfect. Not even saying we're better than anybody else. If you read this, the first part of this chapter in chapter 2, Paul's going to say that he writes that, "For you are dead in your transgressions and sin." But then later on he goes on to say, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive in Christ."
Amen.
He's saying, man, you've messed up. And you've made mistakes. But because of what God did through Christ Jesus, you are a work of art.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Listen, it's so important for us to understand to a great extent how we see ourselves is how we are. You are what you think you are. It's so hard to learn to accept yourself and believe in yourself. That's one of life's most important battles that we fight every single day. Listen, in this survey that I went through here this week, it brought some things to my life, to my mind, that I never really understood, but I believe that it's right. For one thing, you know, it's much harder for women to feel better about themselves than men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why. It gave some reasons in here in this study. It shows that starting in about the fourth grade, boys tend to overestimate their school performance compared to their teacher's rating of them, while girls, on the other hand, tend to underestimate their performance. Boys tend to attribute their failures to bad luck, the difficulty of the task, or they just didn't try hard enough, while girls tend to attribute their failures to personal incompetence. I think that's one reason that girls are so much more prone to depression than boys are. In this survey, it said, "Believing you are confident can be highly motivating, even when it's not true. Conversely, believing that you are incompetent can undermine your motivation, even when it's not true." Proverbs 23:7 said, "As a person thinks in his heart, so is he." I think we're doing much better as a society for being more encouraged to women. You have to understand what women had to go through. There was a time when women couldn't vote. There were times when women looked as second-class citizens. There are some countries today where women are not allowed to walk with their husband. They have to walk behind. There's just so many things that we have, even in the Christian community, There have been so many things that we have done to women that it's no wonder that women can have an inferiority complex. I think it's part of what's built into them as well. But don't get me wrong, there are many, many men who have difficulty trying to accept themselves. One in this survey said one of the mysteries of our society right now is the increase in suicides against middle-aged men. Middle-aged men from the age of 35 to 50 age group experienced a 43%, think about it, that's close to half, 43% increase in suicide. And the rate between, this is between 1997 and 2016. If you took that survey between 2005 and 2016, the rate would be over 50%. I wonder what it is that challenges these men to face, to look at the world and see no hope, nothing to encourage them that they would want to take their own life as the only way out. Let me ask you this. Think about the things that you say about yourself. Would you ever say that to somebody else? Would you ever go up to somebody? Let me ask you, anybody in here ever said, "Man, I am so stupid"? You ever said that? Would you go up and say that to somebody else? Would you go up and say to a person, "You are so stupid"? But we say it to ourselves. You are so ugly. You are so fat. You are so skinny. We say these horrible things to ourselves, but we would never say those to somebody else. Not unless we were maybe really angry with them, but it would be the wrong thing to do. But we think it's okay to say those things about ourselves.
Yes.
No wonder we have a horrible self-image sometimes. Where do you think that comes from? Doesn't come from God, I promise you. When you start saying these things about yourself, that's not coming from God. The problem, you see, with our self-image, it starts at a very early age. And it's very difficult to undo that image once we've established it as that's who we are. Do you realize that the survey said that by the time you reach 2 years of age, think about this, a two-year-old, 50% of what they will ever believe about themselves has been formed. By the age of two, 50% of what they're ever going to believe about themselves has already been formed. How important is that for us as parents, as grandparents, as aunts, uncles, as teachers, as anybody who works with children, how important it is if by the age of two, they have already established half of what they're going to believe about who they are. If their parents tell them, "You're stupid, you're a failure," what are they going to believe? They're going to believe what they hear. This survey said by the age of six, 60% of self-belief has been established. By the age of eight, 80%. And by the age of 14, barely a teenager, by the age of 14, over 99% of what they believe they are is going to be established. By the time they're an early teenager, they are convinced who they are because of what they have been told, by what they have seen, by what people have shown them. When we get this bad self-image from such a young age, no wonder it's so hard for us to deal with ourselves. It's so difficult to undo what we've already done, but it's not impossible. Because we as Christians, see, we have hope. It's never, ever too late to change your self-image. I know what you're saying, but Pastor, you don't really know. And one of the great things about being in a small church, I do know most of what you've had to go through in life. Not all of it, but I've seen it, and I've been through a lot of it with you, but you're thinking to yourself, you don't understand. There's just no hope for me, but there is hope. By the grace of God, you can change your self-image through the help of Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own.
Amen.
Because Satan has this lie, because that's who Satan is. He's a liar and the father of lies. Before we become a Christian, he's telling us we are perfectly okay. You're better than those people going to that church. Those are a bunch of hypocrites. You're doing things just right. You need to take care of yourself. You're doing good things. And you just keep on doing good things for yourself. But the moment you become a Christian, Satan's going to tell you what a loser you are. How you're not worthy to call God as Father. He wants to bring up your past. He wants to remind you of your mistakes that you've made. God wants to forgive you of your past. He wants to remind you of your past. He wants your past to be your future.
Amen.
Paul said in these scriptures here, we're God's work of art. That's who we are. God created us. He didn't create us something ugly, something blemished. He created a perfect person. And that's what we strive for. That's what's inside. So that song that you are so beautiful, God is saying that to you. He's saying that on the inside you are beautiful. You make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But he doesn't love you any less for it. It makes no difference who you are. It makes no difference what you've done. It makes no difference how many strikes are against you. You are God's work of art. You are his precious thing, and God's going to turn your mess into a masterpiece. That's what God does.
Amen.
God takes something bad and make something good out of it. The problem is, we've had this self-image of ourselves. We've listened to Satan for so long, telling us how bad we are. It's hard to change. And it's from, we've been hearing this since we were 2 years old and believing it and understanding. I know many of you have gone through some terrible things in your life. That's not who you are. Larry, you're not the blind guy. You are Larry, the child of the King. You are a warrior. You are a work of art.
Amen.
Dee Dee, you are not that person that people just keep picking on and taking advantage of you. That's not who you are. You are a child of the King. You are Dee Dee, a work of art. And that's how God sees you. Now you see that.
Amen.
We need to see that. We need to see that we are precious. And that just like Priscilla was talking about in Sunday school, we're not who we used to be. We've changed. We're better than we were. And we don't have to live that life anymore. The more we're in as a Christian, the more we grow as a Christian, the more work of art we are, the less mistakes we make, the greater love we have. You know,
amen. Thank you, Lord.
The scriptures, guy asked Jesus one time, what's the greatest commandment of all? And I know every one of you know this.
Love.
It's to love God with all your heart, everything you've got. And then he says to love your neighbor how?
As you love yourself.
As you love yourself. How are you going to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself?
That's right. You don't love yourself, you don't love nobody.
That's you. You've got to love yourself. You've got to see yourself the way God sees you. The only way you're going to be able to love somebody else is to love yourself. Regardless of the mistakes you've made.
Amen.
You can change. Your self-image can be changed. You're not who you were in the past. You are who you are now and what you're going to be in the future.
Amen.
You're a work of art created by God to do His handiwork. That's why you were created. That's why you were made perfect. That's how we need to see ourselves. I want you to love yourself today. I'm not talking about some egotistical idea of God is lucky to have me. Just think what happened. He didn't have me. That's not the kind of loving yourself I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of love that, because God loved me so much, I have to love other people.
Amen.
Because God forgave me, I have to forgive other people. Because God has so much mercy on me, I need to have mercy on other people.
Amen.
I need to walk around knowing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You need to believe that. You need to trust in that. You need to understand what a work of art you are. Amen. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, as we come here today, it's so hard when we have had such a bad self-image of ourselves growing up. And Father, even when things were good and stuff, deep down inside, we knew that there was something wrong with us and that we didn't measure up sometimes. We had this hole inside of us that we could never fill until Jesus Christ came into our lives. Now that hole is filled by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Father, we thank you that you created us as your masterpiece, your work of art. Father, no longer can we walk around feeling sorry for ourselves, not trusting in you. Father, as we heard earlier today, when you close a door in front of us, Father, you open another door for us. And you have so much better for us than we even can imagine. There are so many blessings out there for us, Father, that the scriptures say we can't even contain it. It's going to overflow and spill out. And Father, we want that for us. We want to be a blessing to other people. We want to be a blessing to you, Father. We want to feel like we are an ambassador to Christ. That when people see us, they see Christ in us. Mm-hmm. Father, we're not that angry, selfish, unthoughtful person we once were, Father. You have changed us. You have made us new. And Father, I thank you that you have made something beautiful out of our mess. You have made a masterpiece out of our mess. And Father, only you can do that. And I trust you, Father, that every time we mess up, Father, that you will be there to help us straighten this mess up. Father, that you'll forgive us of our sins. Convince us of our righteousness. And understand that's no longer who we are. We're a different person. We can change only through the grace of God. Father, I pray there today, if there's people here today struggling with a poor self-image. They don't see themselves as a work of art. They see themselves as failures, as disappointments, as something that is not beautiful, not presentable. They just don't feel like they are worthy and can measure up. Father, the scriptures say we follow you by faith, not works. It's not about what we do, Father. It's what you do. And Father, you have told us that we are your masterpiece, your work of art, and that you created us to do your work right here on earth, Father. We take that commandment right now, Father, and we lift that up to you. Father, we pray every day to have you do something for you every single day, that there's something we can do for you, Father, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Father, I thank you that you think so much of us, that you're willing to trust us with that. And Father, we trust you. In Jesus' name I pray.